We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to this week's other hysterically funny political gathering. It's only a shame we're not at the seaside. But before we meet today's delegates, however, we welcome Brian Perkins, who has a worthy snippet from The Guardian.
A magistrate yesterday questioned police who arrested a man for bumping into a flower pot. Was the flower pot caused harassment, alarm, or distress? Quentin Campbell asked at Marlborough Street Court in London. Alan Barwell, prosecuting, told the court the defendant had been seen bumping into people, but wasn't arrested until he bumped into the flower pot.
Well, many thanks to Peggy Matthews of Devon for sending us that. Let's meet the teams now. On my right, please welcome the flowering partnership of Richard Ingrams and Gillian Reynolds. On my left, the Bill and Ben of political commentary, Austin Mitchell and Alan Corran. We open round one with a story from the East Anglian Daily Times.
One particular benefit which all pupils at the Royal Hospital School enjoy is subsidised fees. Parents with seafaring connections may be eligible for a special subsidy if the boy or girl's father, grandfather, mother or grandmother was or is serving in any rank in the Royal Navy, Royal Marines, Royal Naval Reserve, Royal Air Force Marine Branch or the Merchant Navy. An application may also be made if his or her father or grandfather was drowned in lifeboat service. Headmaster Michael Kirk said, "It really is a very good bargain."
Richard, your first question. Whose career was curbed abruptly?
Oh, dear. Well, it could be Robert Maxwell. But I think he's still riding high. When you get to our age, like Alan and me, you feel sorry for a chap, I think, in this predicament. So I don't want to say too much.
I can understand
this,
that, yes.
About this poor old boy. Can't remember his name.
This refers to the resignation of Sir Alan Green, the Director of Public Prosecutions, after the police caught him allegedly curb-crawling in the King's Cross area. As the DPP, Sir Alan oversaw all legal home affairs at his office. All other affairs were conducted in the back seat of his car. He is now looking for a new position. I don't write it, I just read it. Gillian, where was New Democracy given the last rites?
Would it have anything to do with a little bug-eyed priest who was celebrated by Andy Kershaw on a Radio 4 set of documentaries? Would we be talking about Haiti?
You would be talking about Haiti.
And Father Aristide.
That's right.
Who one minute was up at the UN saying democracy had taken root, and the next minute he was back bundling himself off on a plane to Venezuela. Poor man.
Yes, that's absolutely right. This refers to Haiti, which fell victim to an outbreak of mad coup disease. When President Father Jean-Bertrand Aristide was overthrown by a rebel military force. Austin, your question now. Who tried to spoil an address on the coast by not going to the country?
Now. I know the answer to this one, because I've just escaped from the Labour Party conference. I formed the first escape committee since 1981. There were thousands of people trying to break through the security barrier, but they were forced to go back and listen to the speeches.
Answer.
And the answer to the question.
Answer.
Is John Major, who's just announced that he's going to unilaterally... Oh, he got somebody else to announce that he's going to unilaterally change his own sell-by date... And extend it 9 months, the gestation period of another government.
Yes, absolutely right. This was John Major's sudden burst of consistency in decision-making. And when he decided to put off making the decision, no one knew he hadn't made anyway. And we turn to Alan and say, Alan, lend an ear to this. Britain, Well, that was called
Tito and his Mandoliers.
That was called Red Army.
Serbian banjo ensemble.
It was that wonderful performance. Wonderful, vigorous entertainer, Richard Stilgoe, and friends singing about the Red Army. And the question is, where are half the lads D-mob unhappy?
Well, they're all getting smaller. Yes. I mean, in response to Bush cutting things in half, they're having small Red Army people now. But the standard Red Army, the choir will now be presumably one soprano and a mezzo contralto, is being cut down by half.
Further cuts will be achieved by reducing the national service period from 2 years to one and by putting surplus tanks to work on farms so they can cure the cabbage and potato shortage by blasting them out of the fields as ready-mixed bubble and squeak. And the scores at the end of the first round are 4-4. Round two opens with a tale of canine courage.
A man who was nearly blind was caught driving in the fast lane with his guide dog as navigator. Sherman Hill, 48, told a court his dog, Queenie, sat on his knee when he took to the road and barked when he was coming up to a red light. The former American bus driver said, having Queenie with me gives me the confidence to keep driving. If I get too close to a vehicle in front, she starts whimpering, and I back off.
You could teach the director of public prosecutions a thing or two.
Right, right. Richard, it's your turn for a question again. Who are a credit to the Secret Service?
Indeed. Are they... I think I do know the answer to this, incredibly. Some old boy in East Germany has said that British spies are best, and that the chaps in MI6 beat everyone else at the job of spying. It's rather odd, as they were all working for East Germany. I suppose that's what he meant.
We have his name for a bonus. What about that?
Okay, oh, yes. No, yes. I'll give you a bonus.
His name is Mark Wolfe.
Possibly Hollis, but Mark.
I have a starter joke.
Tell us.
Yes, I went to East Berlin to see if socialism was still alive there, and they told me there that all the Stasi have now got jobs as taxi drivers. You stop the cab, you get in, and you give them the name, and they know the address.
Gillian, your question now. What war has been brought to book?
I think this refers to the great blaring book wars, which are reducing the streets of London to panic. Dillons are discounting some books by 25%. Waterstones are standing there with their hands in their pockets whistling, saying, we're not going to join in. Unless, of course, Dillon's sales suddenly go through the roof when everybody in the world will join in.
Both stores will now offer a discount on the works of more than 20 leading authors and Geoffrey Archer. No, it's not as good as the Stasi.
Don't encourage him.
The United Nations is on standby should things get out of hand when they will send in a bookkeeping force. The best-selling books this week are Alasdair MacLean's Iron Eagle, another of his popular Who Wrote It mysteries. Ouch, the Paul Gascoigne self-defense manual. And finally, Sir Alan Green's tour guide, London by Night. Austin, here's some music for you. Like a statue in the rain. Who's feeling monumentally aggrieved after being flattened?
Is this Bomber Harris? Hmm.
It is.
Who flattened Dresden?
Right.
Full stop.
Actually, you start there because
the statue. They aren't going to build a statue to him.
No,
they are. We are.
We are.
Yes.
I mean, the Germans are very upset. I mean, it's a Euro,
yes.
Euro question. You would understand, MP. The Germans are very upset that that the war came to an end so quickly. If it had gone on for a few more months, they would have been all right. Now, the reason it came to an end so quickly is that Bomber Harris and people like him dropped bombs on Germany. And this has upset the mayor of Dresden, who doesn't want a statue built in London to Bomber Harris.
That's right.
Because he doesn't think he was a hero.
Yes.
I met Bomber Harris.
That's just the opposite of what I said, but I'm sure it's right.
Saying, Richard?
I say I met Bomber Harris once.
Oh, really?
He's quite a nice old boy. He lived in Goring-on-Thames, in a house once occupied by Oscar Wilde. He said he bought it because it had 6 bathrooms in it.
Tell us about the Berlin taxi driver. Alan, your question now. Who won round one with the right to a writ after 12 years of Tory misrule?
12 years of Tory misrule?
That's a quote. Not by me.
Round one.
He won.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I'm marshalling brain cells even as we speak. Sorry, can you do the question?
Rosetta Stone strikes.
I can never. It's no good doing that. I mean, it's terrible. It's like, you know, when you walk through the underground and there is now Urdu graffiti. And you try to read it and you think it's your glasses, but it isn't. It's what Oh, really?
Well, I think that answers that thoroughly.
I think it's about Cardiff, isn't it?
Cardiff.
It's about Cardiff.
Ah.
It's about Cardiff, Cardiff, Cardiff. Business, bidder, builder. He's entitled.
Give him a chance to answer.
He is entitled to answer.
You can work as a team.
Swayed government.
Sued.
Look, I'll give you a point if you shut up. Is that all right? Don't set Basil off again, else we'll never get.
Can we answer it?
He's my team. He can do this.
This is a Cardiff builder who is taking a legal action against the government because of its economic policies, which have brought him to the verge of bankruptcy. And he's got round one, where the judge has agreed it can go ahead, and it's now got to be looked at in 3 months' time for a final verdict as to whether the case can go ahead.
Really?
In which case, it'll open up 50 million cases against the government. But never mind.
Can we have a point for his name? It's Mark Harris.
Yes. All right, I agree about what
you're saying. Bomber Harris. We had him.
But the one in Goring that bought the house from Oscar Wilde.
No, that had 5 bathrooms.
And the scores at the end of the second round are still tied at 9-9. It's over to Brian now for the start of round 3.
Easy Cool users' instructions. Congratulations on purchasing your EasyCool food storage cabinet. As you know, EasyCools work on standard refrigeration principles, but do not work well in hot, muggy weather or in steamy atmospheres, so avoid them. However, they have no fear of hot, dry continent or desert atmospheres. In cold, damp weather, the EasyCool will also not work, but the food will stay fresh anyway. On the very occasional hot, muggy weather, when your clothes stick to you and you feel uncomfortable, and a thunderstorm is about, often 4 p.m. in July, either use an ice pack as a cold boost or take care with your food and use it sensibly. Leisure Deluxe Limited is always looking for improvements and constructive criticisms from customers, and we welcome any relevant telephone calls.
I wish I could give you the phone number, but thanks there to Jeremy Parks of Gloucestershire, who sent us that. Richard, another question for you. Who toned down her image after her prince came along?
Is this to do with the Duchess Fergiana?
It is.
Who this week gave a poignant interview on Woman's Hour, or Man's Hour, I think it's called now.
Person's Hour.
Person's Hour, that's quite right. What did she say?
She said she used to be more sort of outrageous, but now she's married, she's settled down and smoothed down her edges.
Well, that's very moving, I think.
It is moving. I'm deeply moving. Moved by
Makes
it.
Makes a change from that poor old DPP chap being dragged into it.
Yes, it's nice to hear some good news for a change. Miss Roosevelt, Sarah, Duchess of York, who managed to fit in an appearance on Woman's Hour during a brief visit to Britain. As Gillian says, claimed she had toned down her ways a bit. Gillian, normally we'd play you some music right now, but today you're getting this. Northern lights shine bright, rising star in the sky tonight. They painted letters on biker walls, Gaza inch then 10 feet tall. Walking by the river Tyne, see that fog, you know it's mine. Move those feet, let them tap, get them going to the Gaza rock. Cut those hands and let it out. How is the lads, I want to hear you shout. Well, your question is, whose claim to have been clubbed didn't stand up?
Oh, this is a ghost story. This is the story of the ghost of Walker's Bar in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. A young man, well known to us all, a footballer by trade, was taking a pause for reflection in a private place there, and lo and behold, an unknown assailant knocked him, this poor, penniless youth, Paul Gascoigne by name, threw him to the floor, thereby fracturing his poor sore knee yet again. But meanwhile, who did this devilish deed? The police cannot find out. Therefore, I assume it must have been the ghost of Walker's Bar.
Hey, very good.
That has been this afternoon's story. It would have been Woman's Hour, but we've moved it. You're right in every detail. It refers to Paul Gascoigne, who claimed to have been attacked by a mystery man in a Newcastle nightclub. The shy soccer star said he was knocked senseless, so the punch couldn't have been that hard. Too many Spurs fans in the audience for that one. Gaza has told police to call off their search for his attacker, and all police can hope for now is that the mystery man will come forward and accept his reward for services to the music industry. Meanwhile, Gaza's not the only one out of sorts.
An exhausted Elizabeth Taylor, due to marry for the 8th time next month, has been ordered to bed to regain her strength.
Well, thanks to Colin Miller for sending us that from the Derby Evening Telegraph. Alan, why has television smoked its last one?
I don't have to scribble for this. Fortunately, I can read Hamlet. This is the end of a cigar, the end of my old cigar. It is a cigar called Hamlet, which happiness is. I get nothing at all for promoting it, unlike people like Ian Botham, who get an enormous amount of money. But the success of Hamlet has been based on the fact that life's little disorders, from busted knees to impotence, can all be cured by sucking on this little brown thing. But now the EC has stepped in and said, you can't advertise tobacco on television at all. And the last Hamlet ad goes out this week. Good night, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. That's very Radio 4, isn't it? The rest is silence, I could have said. I mean, there's a lot going
right,
there.
Right. The makers of Hamlet cigars coughed up millions of pounds to saturate advertising slots with their famous commercials before the ban took effect. All the old favourite heroic failures were included, like the man in the plaster cast, the golfer in the bunker, and John Major reading the latest unemployment figures. And surprisingly, we've come to the end of another round, and the scores are still tied at 13-all. Time now to start the last round.
Pets for sale. Two Rottweilers free to approved home. One male, one female. Cannot be separated.
Boom, 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 boom. Good to have him back. Good old
bastard. That was sent to us by Craig Downey of Primrose Hill. Richard, pin your ears around this.
You put the spell on me. You put the spell on me. You put the spell on me.
It makes a change from Nessun Dorma, I suppose. You put a spell on me. And your question is, where did Zax, Mib and OG spell victory?
I haven't a clue what you're talking about.
Good.
I thought it was probably something to do with the president of Haiti. Is it to do with the Scrabble temperature?
Well, it is.
These were words in the winning entry of the Scrabble temperature.
That's right.
They have championships every year. Well, it's a better way to spend your time, I suppose, than cruising around. In your car, or suing the BBC for libel. Anyway, there you go.
Up part of your answer there, judges allowed some lesser-known words to be used in the competition, like kinnock, a style of singing, reminiscent of a cat being strangled, gaza, a dumb one-legged creature which comes out at night. And curb, the place where lawyers go when not called to the bar. Austin, your question now. Whose world record attempt went with a bang? I bet you don't know. Mm. But Alan does.
Ah, do you want me to write it down? I'll tell you.
Tell
you. A bloke made a rocket car out of a length of gutter with a point on the end. And, he went out to test it in a field,
in the middle of Buckinghamshire. To British Aerospace and the takeover by GEC?
The two are probably equivalent. This is probably the entire British Aerospace budget went into this thing. Anyway, it looked like a drain, and it had a point on the end, and he was going to travel at 700 miles an hour in it. Fortunately, the fuel blew up. Otherwise, he would have ended up a hamburger all over the home counties. But it upset the police, and the police came out. There was this enormous bang, and bits of this great British achievement. Quick, the canvas jacket. We ordered it earlier.
It's all right, the van's outside, Alan. It'll be all right.
Yes, this man was making an attempt on Noble's world speed record for a madman.
For a loony.
Anyway. And his fuel blew up. Silly fuel, one's tempted to say. That's what happened.
You can imagine him. Anyway, never mind.
May have been the last V2 aimed at Bomber Harris's statue. We have one left in the basement. I think it still works.
How do we get the fuel out? Suck you, Paul.
I stumbled earlier.
The scale model was built by Mr. Brown in his garden shed, or as they call them in Slough, his house. Sorry, Slough, the bomb squad and anti-terrorist forces, who are thinking that the neighbouring RAF strike command had come under attack. Immediately put out an APB on the mayor of Dresden. Came into this building a human being somehow. Alan.
Yes.
What bird proved to be defunito?
People often come up to me in the street and ask how I prepare for the news quiz. And I tell them every evening, before I come on to do it, I read the Big Boy's Book of Parrots. And I get Parrot Monthly. And I get Beacon Claw. And I get Pretty Boy and a lot of magazines. Like that. Because there's always a parrot question on the newspaper. And I always get it. And I've got this one, and I don't know what you're talking about. I
I think there was a parrot in Spain during the week, and I sort of caught a cursory glance as it flew past my newspaper. And I can't... I've really got a blind spot. I'm waiting for my big moment, and I can't remember.
No, it's a joke. I'll give you one.
We are readers of City Post. It's news on this side of the hall.
Right.
My partner knows the answer to this one.
Come on, Gillian, tell us.
There was a famous court case in Spain this week where an owner sued for damages for her dead parrot. This lady had had a disease, and the doctor said it was all the parrot's fault. Take a blood sample. Then they took too much and the parrot died. So she sued, and she got damages of 150,000 pesetas, which is, I think it's, is it £85,000 or something? Yes, it's
enough to buy a ladder and a bed, anyway.
Thousands and thousands of pounds. Poor Polly.
Very good. Absolutely right. Well done. Well answered, right? Before we read the final scores, it's time for the team's cutting. Richard, have you got a cutting box?
Well, I've got a religious item from Rome for you.
Oh, good.
It says, housewives are picking up Vatican radio on domestic appliances. One Rome housewife said, I was ironing my husband's shirt when suddenly a prayer came out of the iron.
Very good. Mercifully brief. Gillian, what have you brought for us?
And now science news from the Yorkshire Post. Condoms imported to combat AIDS are being used to measure air pressure at Zimbabwe's biggest power station. Engineers at the Hwange coal-fired electricity generating station were forced to improvise when conventional pressure gauges broke down and they had no spare parts.
I can just picture the scene. Austin.
Well, on Monday at the Labour Party conference, the Electricians Union delegate gave the whole game of the conference away by announcing in ringing tones, we should be more coordinated and bland. Planned.
And Alan, what have you brought?
Well, I've got a little snippet about how life is lived on in Australia. It's from the Coolangatta Herald. I get it every week along with Parrot News. It says, the defendant, Barry Mitchell, left the Yarrup Cocktail Lounge a little after 6 p.m, accompanied by his Labrador, Rufus, and according to the evidence of Mrs. Jill Seymour, when the two of them reached the gate of her house in Sycamore Road, they both stopped and urinated against it. She telephoned the police, and some 5 minutes later, P.C. Holder approached the pair in Creek View and was bitten on the thigh by the dog. In Yarrup Magistrates Court last Tuesday, Mr. Mitchell was fined $100 for indecent behaviour and a further $100 for failing to control his dog. He apologised to the court, saying, Rufus is the gentlest dog in the world, except when he's had a few.
In a week of rough justice, we are an honourable exception because Richard Ingram's and Gillian Reynolds have scored 16, but so have Austin Mitchell and Alan Corran. So it's a tie. Everybody wins. Well done. Before we leave you, Brian has a story from the Derby Herald and Post, sent in by a Mr. P. Taylor.
Derbyshire MP Peter Rost faces a court appearance for allegedly demolishing a listed building without permission. Mr. Rost says the building had been on the point of collapse and was deteriorating daily. We regret that it was falling down, he said, and in order to preserve it, we took it down. Councillor Julia Coleman said, it will never be a 17th century listed building again.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Gillian Reynolds, Austin Mitchell and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Diane Messias.